Thank you for tuning in to the original, not entirely historical, comedy podcast, The Great Pyramid Scheme, created by Layla Abdo. This podcast will be best enjoyed by mature audiences due to strong language.
Dear Sobek, help. I have no idea how to rule. Can you give me some guidance here? Love, your faithful priest who likes you so much he put your name in his name. Sobek Otep. Ah. No reply. Just how I like it.
This is Sobek, god of crocodiles and water and cool shit. Thanks for dialing me up.
Ah, ah, ah. Your scaliness. What is happening? Hi, you haven't talked to me directly since I got those weird warts on my...
Crocodiles.
What was that?
Crocodiles.
The prayer connection is really unclear right now. What about crocodiles?
Protect.
Protect the crocodiles. Yes, of course. That's the prime directive of Sobek Priestiosity, your tailiness. Actually, just this morning, some little guy asked me to eliminate them, and I refused. Unless something weird and drastic has happened in the very small amount of time since then, the crocodiles are perfectly...
Sobek Otep glances out the nearest window.
Oh no, the crocodiles are not perfectly fine. Is that Hanutsin? And a small laborer woman? Do they have ropes? Is that a grapefruit? What are they doing to those poor crocodiles? Don't worry, your jolliness. I will handle this promptly. Your toothiness? Prince of Crocs? Sobek? Oh. Okay, he's gone. Wow. I gotta sit down. I feel a little faint. With bliss. Sobek noticed me.
And Queen Hanutsin, ruler of Upper and Lower Egypt, a goddess enthroned who is temporarily dethroned, is basically counting on me to help. And I can't disappoint her. And I thought, well, you're an Anubis fanboy. Please help. For me. And also, for PETA.
No, I don't eat carbs.
PETA. People extremely terrified of animals. You gotta know some cool death shortcuts for 1,000 crocodiles, right?
Yeah. That's kind of my whole deal. I'll consult the scrolls and get back to you with some sick sepulchral rites. Morbid.
Thanks, Keg. It really means a lot that you, or anyone really, would help little old me.
We're friends, Mimi. Friends help friends.
Salutations, priestling! Great Anubis tattoo, and hello, whoever you are.
I'm Mimi. Another person?
I am glad to see you on this embankment already, priestling, surveying our dear Nile. Alas, miscreants have been spotted molesting these beautiful creatures with spears and grapefruit, and this displeases Sobek. I command you, as a servant of the gods, to protect them with your body and with your life. Good day, ta-ta.
Holy embalming fluids. Sobek Otep noticed me. Seems promising for my career. I'll be able to serve death forever with zero conflicts.
But you just promised me to find death shortcuts for 1,000 crocodiles.
Shit.
And Sobek Otep just told you to protect them.
Right.
I don't really know how you'll do both at once, but it's fine, I guess. I'm used to people not coming through for me. Don't know why I expected anything else.
Mimi walks away in the saddest way anyone has ever walked away over a sand dune. Which is not very sadly, because walking across a sand dune always requires at least a little bit of stomping.
Wow. Mimi is really sad. And not like in a cool melancholy goth way where it's fun to think about the inevitability of oblivion. Like... sad, sad. Not chill. This sucks? Ugh! What would Aaron do?
Hello, comrade!
Whoa, Aaron? Is that you? Why are you a miniature version of yourself perched on my shoulder?
Because I'm an angel on your shoulder, here to give you advice as requested.
That's pretty weird, dude.
Only if you don't believe in angels.
I don't, bro. I'm poly AF.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Well, the answer to the question plaguing your subconscious is non-violent action.
Non-violent action sounds hella passive-aggressive and difficult to obtain results, my dude.
A common misconception. Don't you see, Keck? Non-violent action grants you permanent moral high ground over any issue, which gives you eternal whining rights about injustice.
But how does that help me? I want to be a good friend to Mimi and a good servant to the gods. I don't need to righteously whine.
It's not whining, it's praxis. My time is up, dear Keck. Find me in the real world! Go to a pita meeting!
Keck starts sprinting after Mimi. Not very fast, because again, sand dune.
Mimi! Mimi! Take me to pita!
Khufu and Meretitus flee the zombie pan-species fish orgy. Somehow, Meretitus is adjusting better than Khufu, who sprints in random directions with his eyes closed and then squeals since he assumes everything he is touching is a penis.
Foreign bean!
Khufu, that is my elbow. Can you please not be xenophobic about it?
Meretitus initiates the grand plan to escape the fishbone boning helliverse.
We never would have come here if Herodotus hadn't mentioned it.
Fuck Herodotus!
Someone actually is! Hot diggity!
Herodotus, lovely to see you.
Meretitus. I simply can't say the same. It's a terrible orgy faux pas, you know, to interrupt anybody who's balls deep in a school of undead fish.
This is important, and I do not care about your slimy fish. How are you getting out of here after you have presumably visited before and left?
That's because Poseidon likes me. I'm the perfect fluffer.
A fluffer?
For his legend. I fluff it up, make him big, pronounced, visceral.
So trips to Atlantis are a positive PR buyout for you? You truly have no shame.
I have bivalve nipple clams on right now, so I would say Shameless is winning, babe.
Can we go back with you? On your boat, perhaps?
Ha! Honey, you couldn't afford it.
Khufu will pay with his wood.
Say what?
It is pure cedar wood from Byblos. Extremely nice caliber, incredibly fragrant, and the reason for our entire expedition. That is how incredible this wood is. Worthy of a pharaoh and his queen leaving their throne to pick up the luxurious, nay, priceless material to build our afterlife home with. I bet you can make something, I don't know, co-opted and Greek with it. Statues of little dick dudes painted in ugly primary colors.
You've got yourselves a deal.
No! No deal! What the fuck, Meretitus? This whole trip was to get the cedar wood for us! You can't give it away!
There will be no pyramid if we are stuck in Atlantis forever, Khufu. It's the wood or nothing. I want to get out of this completely deprived cesspit that lacks culture, class, and civilization. Atlantis is absolutely disgusting.
That's harsh.
Khufu, has Poseidon been standing behind me with his trident this whole time?
Yes.
Did he hear all of that?
Yes.
Including me calling Atlantis disgusting?
Yes.
Let's chat, shall we? Guards, make my guests more comfortable.
In a dark basement, barricaded against all animals, a large group is gathered for an evening meeting.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for being here tonight with people extremely terrified of animals. My name is Aaron, and I am terrified of animals.
Hi, Aaron.
Let us begin with a moment of silence. I encourage us all to use this to reflect upon how terrifying animals are, and in particular, the crocodilian menace we currently face. If you feel compelled to spiral, we support you. But please do any weeping and gnashing of teeth silently.
What's up, people of PETA? I'm Keck.
Hi, Keck.
And I am not terrified of animals.
Oh, I see. Keck, this is the meeting for people extremely terrified of animals. The meeting for carp enthusiasts is next door.
I'm here to help you all see. There's really nothing to be afraid of from Sobek's specialist boys. We can live harmoniously alongside these marvels of nature without terror.
Yeah, we try not to invalidate people's fears here.
Yeah, but fear just springs from ignorance. It's like death. It'll scare you unless you read the Book of the Dead obsessively, which I highly recommend doing, because death, oblivion, the shuffling of this mortal coil is beautiful. And the Crocs are beautiful, too. And I'm gonna show you how.
Keck pulls out a gigantic scroll and unrolls it to reveal a life-size diagram of a crocodile, labeled in detail. The PETA audience looks frightened. Most are trembling in terror.
Crocodile!
All right. What's a crocodile? A reptile. They've got tough scales, wicked tails, big jaws, and sharp conical teeth that can sink into flesh.
I do not approve. No.
They can decimate anything with bite force, but the muscles that open their jaws are pretty weak. So if you hold them shut before you get bit, you're good. They're sick-ass apex predators. Plus, males contribute to guarding the eggs alongside the females, feminist kings. And they're really social and friendly. Once you're buds, and they won't eat you. Let me prove it by introducing you to my girl, Fifi. Here, Fifi.
Into the room scrabbles a gigantic scaly beast, dressed up in a frilly robe with fashionable coal lining its reptilian eyes. There is no way this could go wrong.
Meet Fifi.
Keck, I don't think this is appropriate.
No, see? It's totally fine. She won't eat anybody. Look at her tail wagging. She's so happy. Can you all quiet down, though? It's making her kind of nervous.
Down.
Fifi, no!
The bite force is so strong!
Where's my cannibal?
Oof! Ouch. I have never seen blood spurt that far. This is getting real gnarly, real fast. That... ew! Did Fifi just bite that lady in half? I'm just gonna cut away, and we'll all cross our fingers Keck and Aaron get out of this one all right. Poseidon struts up and down the deck of the Egyptian ship. Khufu and Berettidus are tied to the mast with seaweed as buff dolphin guards scowl at them. This is Poseidon's idea of comfortable.
This hurts, guys. You tried to bribe my best PR guy, and not in a fun, stealthy, sexual way.
Sexual?
Wife, I give you my permission to seduce Poseidon so we may leave with all our wood.
Are you fucking kidding me? Why is it okay when you pimp me out for your own needs?
You don't want to stay in Atlantis either.
If he gives me an orgasm, maybe it won't be so bad. I hear orgasms are nice, exquisite, transcendent.
Not to get in the middle of your marital spat, but...
Then don't!
Look, fuck him, and we leave, and then I'll build a love pyramid to commemorate our couple's vacation.
If I may, I...
Oh my god, you want to erect a memento of me whoring myself to save us? Are you nuts?
Mortals, shut the fuck up. I don't want to fuck Meretitis.
Really? Why not?
She's perfectly serviceable.
You make me sound like a camel.
You have two luscious humps, a big smile, soft skin, and you hydrate. Ha! You're a camel!
This is the worst vacation ever.
As I was interjecting, I'll let you go if I can fuck Khufu.
Excellent. We accept.
We do not accept.
You are perfectly happy with me doing it. Look, I grant you permission. Fuck Poseidon.
He doesn't want to fuck me, Meretitus. He wants to hate fuck me.
Guilty.
Can he keep his wood?
Sure, I don't need it.
I see no downsides to this. Hate fuck Poseidon and let's go home.
Ask Poseidon why he wants to hate fuck me. Go on, tell her.
To exert Grecian white supremacy over Egypt in a dominant, powerful, sexually violent display of godliness. And measuring dick size. I've got a harpoon on me.
See? It'd just be no fun for me. Poseidon wants to hate fuck me to besmirch our dynasty and culture. It's not like hate fucking a worthy adversary. Like Aaron, for example. If I were to hate fuck Aaron, it would be because we see each other. Me, a god on earth with awesome might and ability to affect change. And him, a peasant with a very pretty mouth. The power imbalance favors me, but Aaron would still prove a challenge. And after much writhing and sweaty struggle, the hate fucking could climax in a harmonious understanding of Egyptian society's ability to copulate. I mean, coexist. That's what a hate fuck could be.
I don't get it. He obviously wants dick and won't let me dick him. I'm gonna go.
Wait, we can work something out.
No, he's made it weird with his hate fuck pining. Who does that? Crazy people. Rule number one to being an immortal sex god: never stick your dick in crazy.
Poseidon and his entourage of sea creatures leave the ship, leaving Khufu and Meretitis tied to the mast.
Poseidon! Please, my lord, I don't want to waste my youth and beauty on decaying humanoid fish. Don't leave me here! Fix this, Khufu.
We interrupt this episode for the Pyramid People shout-out. Ali Nasser, the voice of Khufu, is also a phenomenal audiobook narrator. I highly recommend Behind You is the Sea by Susan Mouadi Daraj. And I can't wait to listen to The Jesset Crowd, Sarah Hashem's sequel to The Jesset Prince. Look him up on Audible or check out his website, thealinasser.com. We want to show some community love for the WGA West Middle Eastern Writers Committee. Thanks to advocates and consultants like MENA Advocacy Coalition, MPAC Hollywood, and Serena Rasool's Muslim Casting, representation can get better. For those working right now, work to join the union. The Great Pyramid Scheme prides itself on being a pro-union show, and we are all about the Middle Eastern Writer Committee's mission to boost visibility and employment of Middle Eastern writers within the film and television industry, while celebrating and promoting accurate portrayals of Middle Eastern characters in all areas of media. Now, let's get back to today's episode. Meretitis continued raving at her useless, witless husband, including phrases like,
absolutely useless, no help whatsoever,
and
I take one for the team all the time,
and
my father was right about you, Khufu. Khufu, are you listening to me?
But nothing made it through to Khufu, Pharaoh of Egypt, Horus on Earth, the sun and the stars, because Khufu was channeling a godly power he had never used before.
Pharaoh Daddy said I would figure it out when I was ready. So, here I am, Mind Palace. Let me astrally project into Duat. Yes. There. A shimmery door. I'll open it to...
Whoa!
Khufu opens the door within and steps into Duat, the Egyptian afterlife and otherworldly plane. Huge dunes form and reform at a great speed in the distance. Grains of sand are whispered away to reveal a gold-paved path to a palm tree-studded oasis.
Huh. I'm translucent and sparkly.
Wee-hee!
What the jackal? Anubis, is that you?
The dog-faced god is neither translucent nor sparkly as he rises from his homey dinner table and sniffs the air. He is big. He is buff. He is hyper. Woof.
What are you doing here, mortal? Can't you see I'm having a romantic evening with my lady Nephthys, goddess of moths, the resurrector, protector of the dead?
Thank you, dear.
See what awesome tail I pull?
Good for you, dear.
So, puny mortal, why are you interrupting our domestic bliss like an asshole?
I need your help with,
No thanks. We shepherd the dead. Take your live ass home, Habibi.
That's the problem. We're stuck in Atlantis and Poseidon's trapped me and wants to do some Grecian white supremacy hate-fucking, which is bullshit because Egypt is the greatest civilization on Earth.
Hell yeah!
I am Pharaoh, Horus on Earth. I am Egypt. So could you gods, you know, help a god out?
We will help you.
Really? Why? Great, but also why?
Because fuck Greece! Hold on, little god fella! We're coming for you! Woo, woo, woo!
Khufu opens his eyes and looks to Meretitis tied next to him.
Hold on. They're coming.
Who's coming?
Me! Yes, arguing married couple. It's me, Poseidon. I'm back. I decided to be real with you because we're friends.
We're not.
And friends let friends express their feelings, right?
I don't like where he's going with this.
I'm the god of the ocean. I can be a little temperamental, turbulent even, but I can't keep it locked inside me. So when I get rejected, I take it personally. Really personally. So personally that I'm going to destroy all of your belongings now, while my crowd of adoring sea creature subjects cheer me on. Thanks, guys. I love you too. So, where should I start? Any last words for your precious wood, Khufu? No? Clam got your tongue?
Khufu vomits Anubis and Nephthys out of his mouth.
Wake up, Atlantis! We are here to fuck shit up! Releasing the jackals and a go! Yalla, yalla, and terrify the local wildlife, my faithful hounds! Now, when I say fuck, you say Poseidon! Fuck!
Poseidon.
The waters become darker as an eclipse of moths, well, eclipse every light in Atlantis, devouring the bioluminescent algae, suffocating the anglerfish. And you don't even want to know what they're doing to those jellyfish.
That's one scary goddess.
Oh, I love her when she's dangerous. All right, I've got a job to do while she keeps the big guy occupied.
Oh, Nephthys. I almost missed you there, but my eyes have already regenerated after your little heads blinded me. You're so very subtle.
I put the aggressive in passive aggressive.
Allow me!
Poseidon shoots lightning at Nephthys, which disorients the moths as they try to trample the lightning.
Oops!
Your trident may bring the lightning, but Anubis brings the thunder!
Ow! Did you seriously just punch me in the face? You can't use god powers on me like a normal higher being.
You have an extremely punchable face, fish boy. Okay, listen up, mortal god. The ship has been greased with embalming fluid, so you can ride a current out of this air bubble. When the time comes, hold your breath, lie back, and think of Egypt. I, Anubis, god of death, deem this ship to be as light as a feather.
Oh, shit! Is the ship moving? How is that possible?
Looks like you guys need one more nudge to ride Nephthys wind out of this popsicle stand. Jackals, push! Lay down, mortals! And don't forget, Egypt rules, bitches!
Meritidus, if we don't get out of this alive, know that I love you in my own way.
If we don't get out of this alive, know that I don't forgive you ever.
Wait, wait, wait! Do you feel it? We're flying, Meritidus! We're really flying!
Hold your breath, idiot. We're about to break through Atlantis' air bubble into the actual ocean!
Thanks to Anubis' magical spell and the air power provided by a moth-slash-death goddess, the ship has flown out of Atlantis and finally resurfaces to cruise home to Egypt.
The shores of home! Thank the gods!
You're welcome.
Not you. I never want to go on vacation with you again.
Damn, that boat is overloaded with cedar wood. Sure would be nice if there was some laborers around at the docks to unload it, but everyone's protesting about the crocodiles.
Till our safety's guaranteed, we won't move your stupid trees!
Till our safety's guaranteed, we won't move your stupid trees!
But this is not Pharaoh Khufu's concern. He just came back from the most stressful boat trip of his life and afterlife, and he's stomping straight to his room for some sulking. I mean, self-care time.
Sobi, I want that wood off that boat by tomorrow, and I don't care if you have to lug it piece by piece yourself. Nobody talk to me!
Of course, sire. Pop off, my liege. That is a completely normal and possible task you have given me, a scrawny priest, while the laborers are on strike and there is a metric shit ton of cedar wood in the harbor that all needs to be transported to the building site. Totally fine and reasonable. What was he getting? Not even a god could make that happen.
Boo.
Oh, yikes. hi, your toothiness. Did you hear that? I hope you didn't hear that. I have no doubt in your power, sir.
My crocodiles are nourished. You did well, priest. Command them, and they shall come to your aid.
I'm going to faint. I mean, thank you. I live to serve your scaliness. Oh. You're gone already. Okay. Wow. What a rush. I could get used to praise from a god. Makes my spine all tingly. I have the weirdest feeling I can talk to crocodiles now.
So Bekotep looks up at the ship with its impossible load of cedarwood. He looks at the banks of the Nile, crawling with crocs. He looks back at the ship, then at the crocs. Then at the ship, and at the crocs, and at the ship, and then at the crocs, and...
Crocodiles of the Nile!
Yes!
Yes?
Doc.
You can talk?
I command you all to unload the cedar wood from the ship and transport it to the building site I am gesturing wildly to over there.
Sure thing.
You got it. As a steady stream of crocodiles begins to unload and transport the wood, Sobekhotep claps himself on the back and goes to have a celebratory Stella, the beer of Egypt. But Aaron intercepts him with his hands on his hips and a fresh bone to pick.
No beer for filthy exploitationists.
You aren't working. I'm not exploiting workers if you aren't working.
No, you're crocodiles. Keck already went around and got them to sign union cards, so they're entitled to beer and breaks like the rest of us. We're thinking a barrel of beer per croc per shift to account for their size and metabolism.
Fine, fine, fine. Just pour me a beer. I've had an unbelievably rough day.
That was easy. But nobody ever said Sobekhotep was a born negotiator. Barrels immediately start rolling out to all the crocs. They get their beer and their breaks, and all the people extremely terrified of animals watch with cautious interest.
Aw, that one's sitting upright on a bench.
Oh my god,
he thinks
look!
He's people.
He's drinking beer!
They're kind of cute.
Beer!
Beer? Beer's what did it? Mimi, I trained a crocodile to let me put coal and a frilly outfit on it, and now people are cautiously optimistic about animals because the crocodiles are drinking beer?
Well, it's not just any beer. That's the power of Stella, the beer of Egypt.
I'm sorry I temporarily disappointed you, Mimi.
That's okay. Well, I mean, it's not, but that's what you're supposed to say, and it all worked out all right in the end, so... It's okay, Keck. And as humans and crocodiles work together in harmony, Hanutsen watches reflectively from the palace. Have recent events changed her? Is she experiencing growth?
I liked having power. It looked so good on me. Life seems so meaningless without it. Even the shadows wreathing me now are kind of limp and sad. Like Khufu's dick. I'm gonna poison that motherfucker tonight.
Whew, close call. She's totally fine. Yes, Queen! Escape any and all character development! Building a pyramid from wood was very straightforward. Intuitive, even. Since time wasn't spent carving the building blocks to exact specifications, it was really playing a giant game with Lincoln Logs until you have a big, pointy triangle. Plus, the crocodile strength really helped out.
I never thought I'd be working side by side with a croc.
What about side by side with a friend?
I can do that. Great building with you, Crocodile Joe.
You too, Aaron of Unions. May the frogs hop into your mouth at feeding time.
I'm gonna miss him so much.
Khufu triumphantly examines the pyramid with Sobekhotep.
Whoa! This is even better than that IKEA stuff, Sobi!
Yes, mighty Pharaoh. It has been your speediest erection yet.
Cool. I know all we have left to do is crown this pyramid. So I think it's time to throw the party. Do me a favor and invite the gods, especially Anubis and Nephthys. I want to thank them properly for making this possible.
Of course, my liege.
After burning a lot of sage and herbs, Sobekhotep set out offering platters at the shrines of each god's temple. For Nephthys, Sobekhotep draped her temple with soft, opulent fabrics and bright flowers. For Anubis, he laid a herd's worth of cow femurs out and filled them with peanut butter. 3 days later, it was time to ceremonially cut the ribbon on the new pyramid.
Dear people of Egypt, it is a monumental honor to now be monumental. This great pyramid is a testament to working across the waters, across civilizations, across species. All to honor me, as you should. So thanks for the sweet afterlife pad, which would definitely not be possible without our two guests of honor. Anubis, god of death, and Nephthys, goddess of moths and also death.
Hey, Khufu, beloved worshippers of the crowd, it is me, Anubis!
We live to worship you!
Ah, thank you, my friends, thank you!
Remember this when you think of the moths.
Oh, shit. Her moths are carrying matches and dropping them onto the pyramid.
Khufu lacquered the wood so many times when we were captured that it is super flammable. Are all of Nephthys' moths flying into the scorching flames of the burning pyramid?
Badass.
No! My cedar wood pyramid!
Okay, see you all on Judgment Day. All right, Masalam.
I had it. I had it, and now it's gone.
We can always try again, Pharaoh. Maybe next time with a material that doesn't offend the gods?
Yeah, okay. I'll build another one. This one was great, though, right? I did great?
As Khufu slumbers the sweet slumber of a guy whose wood is exactly as it should be, a shadow skulks round the corner of the room. It looms over him, and then it pours a sticky white liquid directly into his open mouth.
Silence! You've got about 2 minutes before you hit Duat. But before you die, tell me why you sent that letter naming Sobekhotep regent and not me.
Knudsen, is that my moisturizer?
No, it's poison. Go back to sleep and let me murder Khufu in peace.
That is the moisturizer I got in Atlantis, with rare Tunisian snail mucus. They have to squeeze every snail by hand. It's worth more than gold.
What?
Oh, now you care about the rare Tunisian snail mucus.
No, I... Ugh, it's so sticky. What letter? I didn't send any letters. I don't like anyone enough to send letters.
Ahem. To whom it may concern. In my absence, Henutsen definitely should not rule. Sobekhotep can be regent, I guess. But definitely not Henutsen. Not Henutsen for Pharaoh. Love and light, Khufu.
I didn't write that.
That sounds suspiciously like what someone who wrote that would say.
No, I think he's telling the truth. He couldn't write anything that coherent.
Yes, thank you! I mean, rude, but thank you. I wouldn't have written that. Love and light? Ew! That's so tradwifey.
Tradwifey, you say? Meretitis?
Henutsen? Why do you have that scythe? Henutsen, I told you to throw that in the Nile! Ah!
Thank you for tuning in to the original, not entirely historical, comedy podcast, The Great Pyramid Scheme. This episode was written by Layla Abdo and Bree Wernicke and features the voice talents of Ali Nasser, Layla Abdo, Adrian Duell, Adam El-Sharkawi, Laura Laham, Lynn Molly, Morgan Vincent Watson, Robert Vincent Watson, Bree Wernicke, and Nebra Nelson. Sound design by Devin Wagoner and original music composed by Nibal Mesoud. The Great Pyramid Scheme is audio engineered by Jason Koch. Learn more about our cast and crew at greatpyramidpodcast.com. Thank you for tuning in.